Valuetown is a production of ChamMV TV. Find out all show information and details at chamMV.tv. Valuetown is directly supported by listeners like yourself via patreon.com/valuetown.
This is our town.
Welcome!
What's up, everybody? Welcome to a special episode of Valuetown. Actually, it's number 212, but it's another crossover with our friends at Angry Chicken. And today I've got Dills on with me. What's up, man? It's been a long time. Yeah.
It's good to be on the show. It's been a while. I think the last time I was on, Noxious was still playing Hearthstone.
Oh, man. That was a long time ago. That's probably over a year ago. Yeah. So,
yeah,
always a pleasure having you on, man. And, you know, I can tell it's hot in Austin because you've got the wife beater and everything.
Yeah. My AC is actually like halfway working right now, too.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Yeah, we got the fan going. The poor dog has been, he just like sits in front of the damn thing all day. But they're fixing it soon. They're giving me a new unit and everything. But I'm struggling right now.
It's not even the summer yet, man. I can't even imagine. At least it's not in the middle of July or anything like
that. That's true. It's better that it happened now. But yeah, it's like 85 degrees in my apartment if you're not a fan. Yeah, it's
bad. Yeah, definitely not good. But yet, lots to talk about. You know, new expansions out, of course. New event today, which I totally forgot about it. But apparently, it's called the Noble Gardens?
Noble Garden.
Yeah, Noble Garden. So there's
Easter flavored thing, and you get two Mechano Eggs and two Boomsday Packs.
Nice, yep.
That's you log basically in. All it is, except for I think there's a Tavern Brawl. But yep. Whatever.
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of, you know, the events are nice, great to get free stuff, but, you know, there's only so much you can do, really, with the events outside of Tavern Brawl. So, anyways, log in, guys. Be sure to get those, you know, get that dust and get those extra packs. But you know, this week's been great. You know, I'm still having a ton of fun. You still having that, you know, honeymoon period with the expansion week?
Yeah. Right now, I mean, obviously, because of the rotation, it's like this expansion actually seems to matter a lot, which has been the problem with the last two or three, right? It's like you get a bunch of new cards and then you go, oh, well, all the old cards are still better, right? And this time, all the old cards are gone. So you're actually like seeing, I think one thing that's been really fun is that, you know, cards like, you know, Hagatha was good. Mm-hmm. Dr. Boom was okay. But now you're really seeing their power level when Death Knights aren't a thing anymore, right? Because they were kind of outclassed by like Gul'dan and Rexxar and stuff. But they're just insanely good cards now. And the massive influx of new archetypes, I've been having a blast. I can't stick with any deck though, so I haven't really been climbing.
Yeah, me too. I purposely not. You know, like I just enjoyed this period where it's like, I played a ton of Shaman last week. I still played a ton of Shaman this week and Mage and things like that too. But I just like the nuance of, you know, whatever meta is happening at where I am and just being able to build against it instead of just building something that's just generally good, right? Over 100 games, I'm going to win, you know, 60, 70% of the time. Just, you know, building stuff that's specifically good against things I'm just playing against that day. You know, I really enjoy that period. So that's kind of what I've been doing.
Yeah, me too. And then the meta changes literally every day too, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
day one it was all Bomb Warriors, and I was like, oh well, I'll play Mech Hunter, and I just dominate them all, you know.
Yeah.
And then actually last night I tried for the first time the new aggro Mech Hunter.
Really?
Which
okay,
I hadn't played. I was playing the like nine lives kind of power spiky value Mech Hunter, but last night I switched to the aggro Mech Hunter that actually runs Boommaster Flark. And just tries to like murder you.
Yeah.
And it's actually pretty good. It's real fast.
It's got bombs and stuff in it too, right? Like that one?
It's got what?
It's got bombs and stuff in that one.
Yeah, it's got all the stuff that makes the little 02 mech bomb guys.
Yep.
Because
yep.
Yeah, then it just magnetizes things to those and they right. go off. And, yeah.
Right. I hate that deck. And Bloom has a spark. God, those missiles are, oh my God. It's just.
It also has the missile launcher Venomizer mm-hmm. package, which right. is sweet.
Yep. Yeah. That,
which I guess is sweet, but it also is super frustrating when you play against it.
No, but it's good that I like the fact that Hunter retained the whole death rattle archetype. You know, it was obviously super strong this last year, and you know, I think they've been setting this up for a long time now. There was remember when it wasn't Play Dead, but Wolves. Feign Death. Remember when Feign Death was around?
Yeah,
I mean, they wanted the Death Rattle to be around. That was like years ago. We're talking like 2-3 years ago. And they just never could make it work, right? Like, so Van Hymen was still probably the best Death Rattle minion, the only Death Rattle minion you could use it with. Now, at least, you know, we've got all these choices. So they've definitely done Death Rattle right.
Well, when I looked at the mech package stuff with Ursatron and what's the 6-mana 3/4?
The Oblivatron.
Oblivatron, yes. One of the Trons.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, these don't seem that good. But then when you 9 lives and you pay 3 mana for that effect again, and then you do it again, and then you Zul'jin, and then it happens 2 more times. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, fun. Yeah, very, very good. That's why they own Warriors, is because they just never die.
But also because Dynomatic doesn't kill any of my stuff, right?
And, that's true, too.
Because now, actually, Bomb Warrior at first was, the way I built it anyway, it was like a tempo deck the first day, right?
Yeah.
I built like a tempo, just, I make bombs, but I also make dudes, and I try to hit your face, and I try to, like, get the last little bit of damage with the bombs. And then it turns out, no, you just like make a control warrior deck that just has some bombs is way better. So with that version, the Mech Hunter was just really good because I just couldn't kill your stuff, right? So
right, right. No, that's kind of funny, that synergy. Yeah, he just really works against the warrior in the end.
Yeah,
it's funny with the warrior because it's. I actually prefer the dragon. I love the dragon package actually a lot more than the bomb.
Oh yeah, I've been seeing a lot of that lately.
Yeah, yeah. I like it just because it's definitely built more for value. You know, there's all these cards where you just draw dragons and you can copy dragon, or you can, you know, like add copy just all the dragons that you have in your hand. You can get like another copy of it. So that's definitely right up my alley. But I just felt like it's been better just because people know how to work around the bombs. I mean, there's like one card that basically counters the bombs. It's called Illisiana because Illisiana just wipes away all the bombs too if you play against a control.
What's your thought, by the way, on people wanting to ban that card in Specialist?
Oh, for sure.
For that?
Yeah, definitely for that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I was for that even before the expansion came out. Like, I felt like that was a problematic card.
It is for sure. I mean, it has the potential to make games last forever, right?
And it's just
when you can stutterwalk it and do it again. Right. And
I had a game one time. I got Illisiana twice in the Discovers.
Oh, really?
Yes. And my opponent got it one time too. So I literally had a 58-minute game.
Oh my God.
Yeah. It was
You can Baleful Banker it too still.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Like, I mean, I didn't even do that. But you can bounce it like as many times as you want too. So
yeah. That does seem like a problem.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
I guess the issue though is that it is itself a tech card, and that's kind of what Specialist is all about, right?
Yeah, but but it's a big problem if not only is it a tech card, I mean it's just a card that's just like a no-brainer too. Like I think people would put it in their base deck. They wouldn't even bother using it as their tech. I mean, with the whole Specialist format is not really sideboard anyways, right? It's really just a three deck format. It's just
it's sideboarding with a limitation, right? So
yeah, but with that's a heavy limitation as to what it is. So I
don't know. Like my take on that is like I think it's healthier in Hearthstone because the tech cards in Hearthstone are different than the tech cards in Magic, right?
Yeah.
Like Hearthstone, the tech cards are literally like kill your thing and like swing the board back in my favor and I win the game now because of this one card.
Yeah.
I think in Magic you don't have a lot of cards like that. It's like look at your hand and take one of them out so you can like remove one combo piece and things like that. But then you run 4 of those combo pieces, so it's fine. Like it's just different. So
yeah, I mean I think that the you know, running sideboard with just tech cards is definitely what has been an established, you know, strategy and best practice and everything, you know, when it came to that format in Magic. But I feel like Hearthstone's a little different. I think that for sure there's the element to that, like running Ooze, if it's, you know, like a crazy heavy weapons type, you know, playing a rogue or whoever, whatever you're playing. You know, definitely there's tech cards that absolutely make sense there. But I feel like, you know, the real potential of this type of sideboarding format is more in a way of looking at it in terms of, you know, it's like a 35 card meta, you know, or a 40 card meta versus just a 30 card meta that just, you know, you just sub in a tech card. Yeah. I think that people don't look at it that way. And I think that's, it's kind of a shame because I think there's a lot of potential in looking at it that way. And the mentality right now, and I said this like last episode, is that everybody starts with their base deck being like the best deck on HS Replay, you know, like, or sure, something like that. They like start with that and then it's just like purely whatever type of permutation from that, you know, using tech cards or whatever. But you could approach it where the base deck isn't the, you know, like a completely refined deck down some type of avenue. It's more of a, you know, versatile type of thing. You know, it's not totally ideal, but if you add the sideboard element to it, maybe your second deck is ideal, you know, or your third deck is ideal or whatever it is. And yeah, and I think that makes it a lot more interesting than just starting from an optimal deck. And I think that's what all the pros do right now. They just start with just the most refined deck. This specialist format probably encourages you just to go literally with just the best deck in Hearthstone and then start from there. And I think
it almost feels like you pick a ladder deck, right? But I guess what I'm hoping to see with it anyway is that the counter meta starts to happen, right? So rather than picking whatever the best deck is, they pick the counter to the best deck. And then people have to go, oh, well, now I got to counter the counter. And then you get into that weird kind of cycle, which happens in Magic tournaments, right? Where somebody like wins a tournament with some weird thing and everyone's like, whoa, what? This guy like next leveled us all, you know? And I'm hoping that's what's going to happen, but I feel like Hearthstone might not work in the same way.
Well, right? I think you'll see some of it. It really just depends on like how many rounds of Swiss there are, right? Because if there are like 80% of people playing just hypothetically Token Druid, you know, whatever it is, then you could probably get away with playing a full counter to Token Druid that sucks against a bunch of other stuff, right?
Yeah.
And probably get pretty far. I don't know if you, you know, obviously make it through the entire thing, but, you know, just kind of adjust from there, right? Just adjust a little bit, you know, so that you beat a little bit more of the other matchups. But I'd rather that happen, of course, than just, oh, well, Token Druid's good, so I should play Token Druid too. So it's just who can just pilot Token Druid better, you know, and it becomes that sort of thing. And
by the RNG, way, what RNG does counter Token Druid?
I'm not sure. Well, it's got to be a control deck.
The matchups right now, it looks like Zoo. Zoo is the only thing.
Are you serious? It's got to be a control. Yeah. There's got to be a control deck that counters it.
They have the numbers are green against everything except Mech Paladin and Zoo.
All right, let me bring this up. I got to bring up real quick. That's crazy.
And I mean, that does kind of make sense because everyone's running like anti-weapon hate and stuff like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if you're Token Druid, you don't play no weapons.
God, that's crazy. I mean, Rogue, last week, Rogue literally had no pink.
Look at all that green.
They had pink. They had two pink things on Temple Rogue last week. Okay, look at this. Look at all this.
Look at all that green.
So Mech, it's not even like great matchups either. Okay, Zoo's the worst. Yeah.
So you see Zoo Warlock 36%.
Oh my god.
Everything else is green, 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 green. Oh, wait, there was one there. 48%.
Yeah.
Mech Paladin, which nobody's playing.
So like control just sucks against it. That's what we're talking
about. You know why though? Because they don't, because Twin Spell is actually super broken.
Oh my god.
They don't have enough control. And I was playing Token Druid last night, and it does feel that way. Like you can just keep building boards, and eventually they're like, oh, yeah, I don't have any more removal because Brawl doesn't have Twin Spell on it, right?
Yeah.
So you get to the end of the game, and you're just like, you're like, oh, yeah, you brawled my board or whatever. That's cool. 8-mana, I do it again. Then 8-mana, I do it again. And then 8-mana, I do it again.
You remember when Whispering Woods was considered a really bad card?
Sure.
And now it's like really great because it's one of the eight cards that fill the board. So.
Well, I was playing it last night and I was actually like hero powering on two rather than play my cards out of my hand. just so that I could get like a full Whispering Woods on
right.
with a coin.
No, but I'm glad you brought Twinsville. Twinsville is really, really good right now with the Druid and Mage, and it's like, wow, this card, it's broken. Like, I mean, I think it was Raven when he was on the show not too long ago saying that Twinsville is probably the best mechanic, and or is going to be the best mechanic. And I was like, really, you think so? I think he's definitely right.
Like, yeah, it snuck up on a lot of people because it looked. You know, it looks like, okay, well, this card is bad.
Yeah.
And then being able to cast a bad card twice probably shouldn't be good, right? But it turns out, no, it's really good to be able to cast a bad card twice because it just means that you don't have to value the card the first time or the second time. You just kind of like throw it out there. And that's the 8-mana make 5/2/2s. I looked at that and I was like, that seems really slow.
Yeah.
But it just turns out it's like, well, after they've cleared your board 5 times, you just have plenty of time to reload and cast it again. So,
well, there's nothing. So I was playing against a lot of Tekken Druids, and I've been playing Shaman, right? There's nothing like building your entire Shaman deck to beat that and still losing to it. It's crazy. Like, I have Lightning Storms and obviously Hagatha and the, I forget the new, the 5-mana, just wipe the board, the scheme, the Hagatha scheme.
Hagatha scheme,
Yeah, and I mean, I'm literally adding everything.
Even had the Dragon Scorcher and
I did too.
Running. The kill everything with less than 2 attack. Like, that I hadn't even seen in forever. I was like, what is happening right now? I was like, this guy literally probably lost the Token Druid like, you know, 20 times yesterday and just said, I'm never doing that again. I'm building everything to kill them.
Yep. I went through that phase. I added that card to it at one point as well. But then I it was like that because I was playing Priest too that would run the 214 as well.
Okay.
So like I ran it for a little bit, but then I took it out and just I was like, this is ridiculous playing this card because it sucks against everything else. But yeah, Token Druid, man, I feel like Token Druid's never bad. That deck's literally been on the verge of being viable for years, like now, you know. And if it wasn't for all the other different, even previous meta, Token Druid's still one of the top druids. But if it wasn't for like Malagas and all those crazy control druids, Token Druid would have been the best druid this last year. So
I think it snuck up on me too because they put all that stupid Healy stuff in the expansion and everyone was kind of like distracted by that. They're like, oh, heal for 5 and bring back Loosened Bark over and over again.
Yeah.
And we didn't really stop to think about what the Twin Spell Forest Aid and, you know, even the like really bad cards like Mark of the Loa.
Yeah. Mark of the Loa is a good one. Like,
that card is awful, but apparently. It's just fine now.
Yeah. They definitely got some super good cards. Like Dreamwake Guardian's a great, you know, a really, really great 2-drop. And yeah, like the Loa is pretty solid. I mean, they even just the card that gives you both of the choose ones, and one of them is, you know, Power of the Wild. I mean, it's crazy, right? Like, or Mark, I feel like they're just constantly, they just have cards. You know, your druids never run out of cards now. That's very, very powerful in terms of.
And then the free legendary too, the Archmage Vargoth is just like so sweet in this.
Oh, really? I haven't seen anybody use that, really? Like in Druid?
Yeah. You play that and then you cast like a token generator or something like that, and it casts it again at the end of the turn and it's like doubles up the token generation. Yeah. Or you play it and you cast like a buff spell, like the new, what is it, Blessing of the Ancients.
Yep.
And that buffs your board again at the end of the turn. So
Dill, tell me this. Why wouldn't you play this in Specialist?
Why wouldn't I?
Yeah.
Because I'm a hipster.
You're a hipster. Okay.
I don't play the best deck. No, I think if I were playing a Specialist tournament today to qualify for the World Championships, I would play Token Druid. Yes.
See, that's oh man, I'm scared.
I know.
I'm scared. I'm scared to see what they're going to end up looking like. But but yeah, anyways, Token Druid is great. But why don't we talk about some of the decks we've been playing? So let me bring up a couple decks. So I've been still playing Shaman. I know you guys were like, oh my God, Shaman's still playing Shaman. Yeah, but at least I kind of want to show you at least an Elemental Shaman I've been messing around with. And it's pretty good, to be honest. Like, I feel like, you know, there's the clear case of, God, I wish I had 32 cards, you know, or 34 cards. And in trying to refine it this way, Definitely, I'm still like in the mode of just playing some fun things, you know, over probably things are very refined and optimal, but you know, you take into account this is because we've been playing a lot of Token Druids and aggro decks and things like that. So especially hunters too, you know, hunters are not the easiest thing to remove stuff from, or at least, you know, from the standpoint of like, they can get a lot of minions on the board, even if they're 0/2s. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, I feel like the elementals are very high in value. Like all of them that they, even the old ones like Fire Elemental, but you know, things like the Nimbus, you know, you basically get to draw an elemental, and all the elementals are pretty darn good. And then I recently added the Giant just because I always have a ton of cards. So I was just like, yeah, why not just throw down Giant?
After you Hagatha, right?
Like yeah.
Full,
yeah,
so.
It's like I'm always struggling, like not having 10 cards. So yeah. I figured the Giants kind of made sense, but yeah, it's a lot of fun, you know. And of course, I have Lucianna in this deck just because you're crazy.
It looks cool. Have you actually found Swamp Queen Hagatha to be good, or you just want to keep playing it because it's fun?
Swamp Queen's the seven drop, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's definitely one that's droppable, but I think that the combination I generally try for or go after is the one that you know, it's either like the Toads plus the seven, you know, the spell that turns
Toads
them
plus turn them all into
legendaries. There's a few cards that create tokens, and then you convert them to legendaries,
sure.
And so it's like a crazy tempo swing whenever you do that. So it's hard for me not to drop it, but it probably is a droppable card given how this deck plays. Like I could probably put another control spell or something in there, you know, versus having a minion there. But,
it's just, I haven't found it to be that, like I looked at the card pre-expansion. I thought this is going to be insane. And then in practice, it hasn't been that insane, but it is really fun every time you do it.
Yeah. I mean, you have that again, you have that high roll where you can just like fill the board with three or four just awesome minions, but for the most part it is just like a singular target type of thing, you know, like it's because like any of the echo cards don't echo, right? So like you don't actually get to heal a bunch, the schemes don't upgrade either, so it's just
interesting.
A lot of things just don't actually, the schemes might actually,
I think I remember doing that too. I thought, oh, is that if I hold on to this horror for like five turns, is the scheme gonna
yeah,
so and it didn't, it was just one no matter what.
Yeah, so that makes a huge difference, you know. So
yeah,
you know, like most of the time it's probably clear some stuff off or clear, you know, like hex something specifically and then, you know, get something little, but that those times that you high roll, it's like, oh my god, it's like wins you the game almost, you know, like so it's still a pretty good card.
And you do probably have time in a deck like this because of how much control elements you have, right? So I think that's really the trick for me has been, at what point am I allowed to pay 7 mana for a 5/5 that does nothing that turn, right?
Yeah.
Because then you have to then play the 5/5 on a future turn. And
it's nice getting it off Shudderwalk, too. You get, like, another 5/5. I mean, it's random as to what it's on it, but it's kind of nice to get another powerful minion from that, too. But yeah.
I was surprised about Walking Fountain, too, by the way. I mean, I did think the card was going to be decent. I didn't think it was going to be, like, game-winning like it has been, I think, in a lot of situations.
Because we've had complaint, or at least somebody, you know, wrote us a gentle message to, you know, this show as well as your show, that, you know, we're not talking about cards enough, maybe, in terms of stats. Just real quick, you know, the 5/5 he's talking about is the one that where you can choose two ability. You know, you get to choose two spells. And then you get a 5/5 with those two spells attached.
That costs
to it.
5.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Then it goes into your hand,
And then the fountain is the 4/8 that has Wind Fury and its lifesteal. That's, like, the most important card.
Rush,
like,
lifesteal, and Wind Fury?
Yeah.
Which is so funny because Corpse Taker literally rotated out.
I know.
Came in and I was like,
I know.
Wow, the Corpse Taker card that's so perfect is just now gone.
But, yeah, I mean, I tried to run Countess, you know, just to draw them, right? And I just couldn't fit it. It's just too many big cards in here. But that's another card. That's another card I feel like it can't work into any deck for some reason. It's a crazy draw three card. And
you know why? It doesn't have taunt.
Yeah.
Because remember the card before it, that was the 7-mana 4/6 with taunt that would draw you a beast, a murloc, and a dragon?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah, yeah.
That was in Karazhan.
That was really broken.
So you could actually afford to play that card because you'd play it, you'd draw three cards, and they'd be specific cards you're looking for. but it had taunt, so you wouldn't then just like die that turn, right?
Yeah, yeah.
The problem with Countess Ashmore is you play her to try to specifically draw like your Ziliax or whatever, and you drop her, and then the other guy goes, well, you're dead now. Those three cards you have in your hand now, those are sweet, but your health is zero, so it doesn't matter, right?
Imagine if she had taunt too. God, that'd be like the most broken card ever. That's crazy.
It'd be pretty good. I have seen her more this expansion than ever before. When Countess Ashmore first came out, I thought it was going to be a very good card, but it just turned like this. I don't know. Like rogues right now, you can be at like 18 or 19, and they have nothing on the board, and you're not safe, right?
So. Yeah. It's crazy. Definitely tempo. But, you know, one thing that we did talk about a little bit last week was Mage and just how good it was. And, you know, that's definitely a deck you've been playing here, which more the control, I think, version of it.
I have a weird version. This is meant to counter the Token Druids and the Zoo, because the Zoo deck has also been really, really popular lately, too. The Magic Carpet Zoo deck with, 21 drops in it or whatever. So this deck is meant to be able to counter that. So there's like some interesting cards in here that you're probably looking at going like, what? That doesn't make sense. But it's got Banana Man. The 3-mana 2/2 summons 2 bananas and puts them in your hand. And then it's got Wild Pyromancer. So the idea there is that you can use Banana Man on 3, Pyro Double Banana on 4, and clear most token boards. And then also I have the 7-mana 2/7 taunt that gets cheaper every time there's a minion on the other side.
Right.
For that, that's kind of like there for a couple reasons. One is that it's actually really good to Conjurer's Call. Like you can actually...
Copying it, you get
2/7 drops, right? Mm-hmm. But you play it for really cheap, and it just allows you to like put that down and then a Doomsayer behind it, and then you get like a turn with the board, because that's I think one of the hardest things to do with this deck is get that turn where I can just play a Mountain Giant and then start Conjurer's Calling it. Because sometimes you're like, if I don't get the 7/8 taunt, I'm just gonna die here. So it's just like you need like to be able to clear the board, right? And I messed around with like running Frost Novas and all sorts of stuff. I think I had a version with Ray of Frost, but the problem is if you put in too many spells, your Book of Spectres ends up fizzling out and you like book and then it throws away like your really important spells. So I was trying to figure out like minion based ways to do all this stuff.
No, there was, I forget who built it, but somebody built a mage that literally had all, except for books, right? Like it was literally all mages and it was winning a ton. You know, like, it didn't even have Conjurer's Calling in it, which is crazy
at this point
because that card is broken.
I mean, that's the whole reason for the deck, right?
I know.
The Conjurer's Call.
Crazy broken.
I have seen versions that were running no Caligos, but I'm just like, no, the card is too sweet. I'm not taking that out. Like, it's just
a free spell at the end. I mean,
it's super fun. Yeah. Like, I have found, though, that the discover spell sometimes is really bad. Like, you discover 3 terrible spells, right?
Secrets.
You think in your head, like, oh, I'm going to get Pyroblast or, you know, Flamestrike or something. And then it's like, you know, some stupid secret or something. Mm-hmm. And like, the zero cost freeze thing or whatever. Like, it's just like a bunch of bad cards. So, but whatever, it's still just super fun.
Yeah. I mean, this deck with Khadgar, you know, that basically copies anything you summon mixed with, you know, the Power of Creation and the Astromancer. And I mean, it's crazy. Like just how much minion pressure that mage puts on the board with this deck. And then so, on top of that, the Conjurer's Calling. I mean, the Conjurer's Calling is like consistent as hell, like crazy good.
I've actually found too, it's got some interesting uses. So with the double mind control tech, if the opponent has 3 minions on board and one of them is like really good, you Conjurer's Calling their minion, it summons 2 random minions, and then you can mind control tech. They play around MC Tech, and then you're like, nope, never mind.
That's cool.
So it's actually got some interesting utility as well. And then you see I've got the 5-mana deal 4 if you're holding a spell over 5. And the only spell I have over 5 is the power. One power of creation, but I find that that spell ends up just sitting in my hand and rotting a lot of the time. So I was like, I want to make it do something for me while it sits in my hand, and I'm going to shoot things for four. Because like I said again, like you need to make your minions do what spells would normally do because you're running the Book of Spectres, right?
Right, so, right.
Yeah. So that's kind of like a new thing I'm trying out, and it's been pretty good, actually. In the mid-game, I often find that it's hard to kill, like, just one guy, and I need to kill one guy. So I just put it in as a way to do that.
That's cool. Yeah, for sure. Doomsayers, too. Like, I've been playing around with Doomsayer, too, and I think it's a really good meta for Doomsayer. It's, like, not easy to remove Doomsayer on turn three. And I think as long as you buy, you know, time, especially against, like, a Token Druid or something that... I think that puts you in a really, really good position, like, later, because that's kind of where, especially this deck really swings hard once you get past turn four.
But you need that turn where you can do it without being dead. Like, that's the thing. And so that's why Doomsayer is so important, because, it gives you that one kind of, like, one just moment of, like, breath and, like, okay, cool. Yeah. The board is clear. It's my turn. I can do whatever I want. And like you said, like, play it on three, and then drop a Twilight Drake on four or something like that, right? So there's lots of ways that you can take advantage. Also, right now, I found when you're in the mirror match and you know they're about to play a giant, that's when you drop a Doomsayer, right? And then you stop them from being able to do it.
Yeah, and then you get tempo back, right? And you get to get a chance to play your dragon. It's definitely interesting playing mage without removal cards, you know, like, because that's basically what this is.
It's so weird. Yeah, it's actually... That's, I think, the toughest thing when I was building, because the most popular version of this deck is the dragons, and I think it is better. Let me be clear. My version is not better than that one. That one is better because you get the charging 5/4, you get the crowd roaster. You get a bunch of stuff that actually allows you. You get this, the scorcher, the 3/6 for 5 that deals 1 to the board, right?
Yeah.
So you get all these, like, dragons that actually have effects. And this deck, without the dragon package, doesn't have all those. So that's why I had to figure out other ways to do it. That's why Banana Man and Wild Pyromancer's there.
But, you know, that's what's fun about it, though. You get a chance to actually find these type of combos. And I think it's still great to be in exploration mode right now, you know, instead of just landing on that dragon and just sitting there. And I think that's the problem sometimes, you know, like, I think people just immediately go
in that deck. Void went 12-0 in Brawlhalla with the dragon version, and then it just instantly became the most popular version, right? But there's another, actually. So Banana Buffoon also puts two cards in your hand that makes your Mountain Giants cheaper. So it's like an interesting little side bonus too to the deck. So
Banana Man.
Banana Man. He's a pretty sweet card if you can, like, do stuff with him.
Yeah, if you can totally abuse that. I mean, that's what he was made for. He was totally made for Pyromancer and Mountain Giant. So,
and then I also have the Archivist Lysianna because
because you'd be dumb not to run it.
Sometimes the other guy's playing control, and you got to actually beat them.
It's still the best to wipe. You know, people aren't aware, haven't gotten, you know, don't have a Lysianna, you know, that you just haven't gotten in a pack. It's awesome to just wipe away bombs, too, from Control War. If you hate bombs, Lysianna is exactly what you need to run, because, you have to replace your deck, but you know what? Like, after they've elect a bunch of bombs and all that stuff, you've got, like, 8 bombs in your deck, and you just wipe them clean, and they just, they're just done. Like, so it definitely feels great when that goes away. But you got MC Tech too. So I've been running a bunch of MC Tech as well.
Oh, yeah.
And I think right now people they're just playing with no regards to MC Tech. So I think it's a pretty good time for it too.
It is. And because the Zoo decks and the Token Druid decks are so popular, I mean, that's really, I'm targeting those 100% with this deck. I actually considered, like, do I need the double ooze and the Harrison Jones? By the way, have you had this happen? The bomb warrior makes the weapon that puts bombs into your deck, and then you Harrison Jones it and draw a bomb.
Yes. Yep.
I should have just used it.
That sucks, dude. Yeah. I love burning bombs. Burning bombs is actually really good whenever you have too many
cards.
Oh,
yeah, keep your hands super full and just burn them.
Exactly. Yep. But, yeah, I've had that happen, too, and I'm like,
I had it happen the other night. Like, I was like, Lysianna was just the bottom of my deck.
Right.
And I was like, come on, Lysianna. I was like, I think I have to Harrison and hope I draw Lysianna and then I can play her next turn. Cause there's like seven bombs in my deck. It was like seven out of like 11 cards or something. And I was right. Like, okay, well, and I was at three health. I was like, all right, I'm going to go for it. And then instantly it was a bomb. Then of course the douchebag is like, thanks. I'm like, all right, dude.
It's amazing what one word can trigger.
Like, I know that I was taking a chance there. I did it on purpose.
Right. Okay, well, why don't we take a look at just some of the other, or just what HS Replay has for the current meta, maybe rank 5 and up here. Let's see. Let me bring it up real quick. Okay, so not much has changed, to be honest. Like, since we had our last show, like, on Friday, so not too much has changed since then. Tempo Rogue, Druid still on top. And, you know, what's interesting about this meta compared to, you know, what we saw in Witchwood and, you know, when it first came out is there isn't, like, a ton of decks right now in Tier 1 and Tier 2. You know, like, we had, like, 20 at one point, right, in Witchwood in Tier 2. But yeah. But every class is almost represented. I think there's only one class that's not represented right now. Let's see, 1, 2, 3.
I think the only deck that's kind of surprising to me right now is this Mech Paladin thing, because I still haven't even really messed with it, but it's like the...
I beat this deck, like, every day. I beat this deck so easily with anything I play. So, yeah, I've been surprised, too, that this is so high.
But they have it listed as, like, a Tier 1, Tier 2 deck right now. I don't know. I mean, I guess I see it. It's... I get it. You can Prismatic Lens out... Oh, some stuff different. Because you run so many secrets, right?
I think this is the right one.
Let me Prismatic see. Lens, and then you get like a one mana Tyrion or a one mana Mech Whelp and things like that.
Oh, yeah, right.
So, I mean, I see it. It's just, I don't know. I guess I haven't played as this deck enough to really understand like why people seem to think it's really good. But I don't know. The stats on it look good.
Does it?
I'll have to give it a go.
I mean, I don't get it. Like, I mean,
it's half Secret Paladin and then half Mech Paladin. It's
but there's no like extended value. There's no crazy. There's no consistent crazy tempo plays I see. You know, it's like it's not like this is getting triggered by Play Dead. You know, and just like what Hunters would do with this card. Hunters would make it.
You're not actually doing like, the value with it, but like you were doing in the past. But you are still. Bringing them back with Kangor's Endless Army.
Yeah, that's true.
And then the Secret Opener is really strong because Mysterious Blade is a Fiery War Axe, right? If you play a Secret on one. If you play a Secret on one, like Auto Defense or Auto Defense Matrix or what's the new one? Never Surrender?
Yeah, Never
Surrender. It can't get popped before turn two when then you play a Fiery War Axe, which was a broken card, right? So...
Mm-hmm. I mean, one of the cards that you didn't see in my Shaman deck that I had definitely was playing around with for a long time was just Owls, you know, like Silence. I actually think Silence is great in this meta, too. And Silence just destroys this deck. I mean, I think this deck has a lot to do with building up on the eggs and you know, just and the mechanical whelps, too, and giving you just that really tough situation of like, oh, what do I do? You know, like, I can't kill these things, and they probably, you know, have... one attack or two attack at this point, or maybe that, you know, you blessing did, or, you know, you've magnetic or put a magnetic minion on it. So it's become an issue. And, you know, you kind of have that real conflict of whether you remove this first guy just to see a bigger guy come back to life.
Sure.
But if you have Silence, it's just like, it's just done. You know what I mean? Like Mass Dispel would just crush this deck, I feel like. So, and maybe just this specific period, you know, in the meta, this is super good, but I don't know. I just don't see this being long-term wise being crazy strong.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah. I think it probably sneaks up on people though.
Yeah,
I do think definitely. Though that right now the strongest deck is the Token Druid or just the Tempo.
Yeah, clearly. Clearly, because there's like no bad matches basically.
Yeah, it's funny because the Tempo Rogue right now too. When you look at like the popular HS replay lists,
yeah, it's
you're still running popular. Like Underbelly Fences and stuff like that, and Vendetta.
Oh, you're talking about the actual.
Yeah. And I actually think that the best version doesn't run. I think the best version doesn't even run Hinge Clan Thug. I think the best version just runs all the stuff that like charges your face and just aggers you down.
You think so? Okay.
Yeah. Like I've been seeing a lot of them now. Like they're not running Blink Fox anymore either.
Oh yeah,
they're just running like everything that kills you.
This is a pretty solid one right here. Yeah, I wouldn't run Blink Fox either. I think the miscreants are good just to draw the lackeys, but I mean, yeah, you'd be crazy not to run Hinge Clan Thug.
Hinge Clan Thug is a good card, like obviously. It's just, it doesn't good. Go face the turn you play it, right? And that's like the newer versions that I've been seeing a lot.
Just face.
It's like everything just goes face.
This is pretty close, though. This is pretty close.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, this is pretty close with the Myras and all that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, it's got the Leroy. It's got the deckhand. It's got the poisons. And yeah, it's pretty. I could see just people going face rogue with this. But,
but yeah, the Underbelly Fence was the card that I thought, oh yeah, they're definitely going to be using that, right? It's 3/4 with rush on 2.
That is a crazy good card. Like
it is, but it just doesn't go face. Rush doesn't go face. So it's just funny. It just like ended up getting cut eventually because the Tempo Rogue was like, no, I'm waggle picking your face and I'm hitting everything else just goes face.
Wow.
Like you know when you're playing against it and like you have minions on board and they're just ignoring them and you're like, oh God. Like they just keep coming at my face. And then you like play a Ziliax and then they just like backstab it. They don't care anyway. And then, you're just dead.
Okay. All right.
It's frustrating.
I can definitely see that too. But there's been many, many times where the Underbelly has been the bane of my existence. Like a 3/4 on turn 2. And it's just like, I can't do anything against that. He's just, you know, it's like, do I play 2/2s against it? You know, like he's just removing like 2-3 minions of mine, like easy. But yeah, Rogue is just consistent. And right now there's no clear, I think, I mean, there's definitely a couple bad matchups for them, but they're not, I mean, Control Warrior, but there's a ton of counters to Control Warrior right now.
Yeah, Control Warrior is their worst matchup by far.
Yeah, but nobody's going to play Control Warrior, I don't think, for the most part, you know, like on a grand scale, because Control Warrior
is not very popular on ladder, right? You're saying that it's pretty popular in the specialist format, though, huh?
It was like the first week, but look at these percentages. I mean, there's no way people are playing Control Warrior in specialist.
Sure, yeah, it just gets run over by
God awful. Yeah, there's too many counters. So if you look at Tempo Rogue and you look at the Token Druid, like we were saying before, I mean, there's just no bad matchups. I mean, there's really no like legit threat to countering it completely. So that's why I just feel like that's what specialist is probably going to look like. It's going to be a bunch of these two guys, and that would not be good.
Well, and if Zoo is your only bad matchup, right? Mm-hmm. You can definitely tech to beat Zoo in a Token Druid. You could secondary and tertiary decks that are still Token Druid, but have just, you know, a few cards to combat Zoo, right? And
yeah,
you could definitely do that.
Some kind of wipes, right? Something like that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it already runs swipe, so it's like you just put in a couple more removals and you're good.
Yeah, Starfall or something like that.
Sure. Yeah, Starfall.
Yeah. I see anything else here that shows up that's pretty good? Let's see.
Nothing really new right now. The Murloc Shaman, I guess, is a surprise that it's not
still there,
as
right?
Good, yeah. I just found that it's not that good. Sometimes they get these disgusting openers, though, where like they get that four drop legendary Murloc down that makes all their Murlocs cost 1, and then they get the 2/3 that makes it so that they draw Murlocs whenever they play them. And sometimes that's they the do card. That, and then you're like, oh, they're never going to run out of Murlocs now.
That's the card. I feel like that's a bigger, like a stronger card to me than the one that makes all their Murlocs 1. The one that just keeps drawing Murlocs, it's like, oh my God, that I can't kill that thing. And they just never run out of ammo because of it.
And then the problem is that they'll put that on the board, and then they'll put like a Murloc War Leader on the board as well. And you're like, well, which one do I kill here? Do I kill the infinite value one, or do I kill the one that's buffing the rest of the Murlocs? Like,
right, exactly.
Yeah, so, it puts you in tough decisions. But the problem is, I think it also fizzles out a lot of times with its draws. So
I feel
if you're going to play tokeny things, Token Druid is better than Murloc Shaman, right?
Yeah. But I think Murloc Shaman is just like the easy deck to play this expansion. Sure. You know, like anybody. Is very, very curvy, and you know, you're gonna do pretty well. You just generally, no matter how good you are at Hearthstone, as long as you have those cards,
it makes sense, right?
Yeah, it does. Resurrect Priest, dude, I played a ton of. I was telling you like before the show started, I played. There was at one point, like over the weekend, I literally played like 10 priests in a row. It was crazy. Like I was, really it's like, what's going on? And like my deck was completely not tech to beat. You know, just all the resurrecting of these giant taunts with a ton of health. And so, like, I was like, I don't even know what to do. You know, unless I, like, mulligan, or at least, like, unless I get Hex on my mulligans, I am pretty screwed against any of these decks. at least the, any of the Resurrect priests. So thankfully I haven't played quite as many, but yeah, I mean that deck, I'm surprised that deck isn't doing better, to be honest. It must have some really bad matchups. I think that's probably why.
Yeah, I think you can get run over. And yeah. Also, 9 is a lot to pay for that Mass Resurrection.
Yeah.
You used to pay 7 to do that, so.
That's true. Yeah, it looks like it's bad against... Yeah, it looks like it's pretty bad against, like, some tempo decks. But cool. You know, I don't think we've seen too much movement, so maybe it's settling just a little bit. It's only been a week, so I wouldn't be surprised there's some you know, much bigger things popping up here. But any class you're looking forward to still exploring coming this coming week?
I mean, I think I still haven't really gotten my groove with the Shaman, so I'll give your list a go. That
there's
seems pretty
so
fun.
Much utility, man. Like, I think Shaman, yeah. I wish I could run 34 cards, you know, because they're I mean, I'm not running Krogwall, I'm not running like all these cards that are actually pretty darn good. It's just like I can't really fit them, you know, because of Hagatha just generating too many cards or yeah, I don't know, for whatever other reasons, but you know, there's healing, there's removal, there's value, there's minions. Sure. I mean, there's like Shaman's rich with things to do. It's just
I feel like they've cut down on the RNG style cards with Shaman too, because yeah. You know, forever it felt like that's that was their thing, right? Yeah. I do 2 or 3. You know, I crackle. I do 3, 4, right. 5 or 6. It's right? Like that was so stupid. Now you're like, no, hack of the scheme. I know exactly how much I'm going to do. Yeah, and I'm not even overloading, right? So
yeah, it's nothing like doing 40 damage to everything on the board.
Yeah, kill all boards.
Exactly.
There's also apparently a big paladin out there right now that I'm curious about. Because they got that card Duel that pulls out. I don't think it's going to be on the meta report. I don't think it's actually a good deck. Mm-hmm. But they got that card Duel that summons a minion from each player's deck and then they fight.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so yeah. I remember that reveal. Is that any good? I don't even know.
If you just run a bunch of big minions, then, like, imagine you duel and out comes Undasta and it fights something and overkills it, and then it summons out, like, your Shirvala or Amani Warbear or something. Pretty sweet.
Yeah, that would be pretty sweet. It's pretty specific, but.
This guy's not going to have very often, but exactly. It's super sweet, and I want to do it.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Well, yeah, definitely going to be. I want to talk a little bit more about or at least do our first preview on the World Champs that are coming up. But before we do, I just want to let folks know that this episode is sponsored by Robinhood. And if you guys aren't familiar with Robinhood is an investing app that lets you buy and sell stocks, ETFs, options, cryptos, and all commission free. And it's a phone app, so you can actually go download it off of iTunes and Google Play. And while other brokerages charge you up to $10 for every trade, Robinhood doesn't charge any commission fees. So you can trade stocks and keep all of your all of your profits and, you know, not have to have that extra charge on it. Plus there's no account minimum. You don't have to have like, you know, $100 or $500 in your account for you to be able to, you know, get some of these perks. The interface for it's very simple, intuitive design, and it makes investing super easy for even newcomers as well as experts alike. View easy to understand charts, market data, and place a trade in just like 4 taps of your smartphone. And you can also like view stocks in collections. So they have things like 100 most popular, and it just kind of helps you guide you through if you're not very familiar with looking for different stocks like that. So, you know, with Robinhood, you can learn how to invest in the market as you build your portfolio, discover new stocks, track your favorite companies, and get custom notifications for price movements so you never miss the right moment to invest. Robinhood's giving Value Town listeners today a free stock, meaning like a stock like Apple or Ford or Sprint to help you like start off your portfolio if you sign up at value.robinhood.com. And it's kind of cool because it's like opening a Hearthstone pack. Like these it has like things that you can choose, and you just choose one of them and it opens it up and it's like, you know, some stock pops out of it. So yeah, it kind of has that feeling of Hearthstone whenever you play it. But anyways, check out Robinhood, guys. It's definitely a really cool app, and especially if you're just getting started. All right, so let's talk about World Champs, which is going to be happening probably in about a week and a half here. Not this weekend, but next weekend. And, you know, it's a huge buildup, obviously, this last, I don't know, 5 months or something. It's been a while since we've had the... it's been like a month and a half since we actually had the final season. But obviously, this is accruing the entire year, past year. So we have everybody that's qualified through all the finals, the seasonal finals, coming together and trying to win, obviously, the giant $250,000 prize, as well as, you know, just more. I mean, there's 100,000 for, I think, third, and I forget what second gets. Maybe second's 100,000. I know the number of the first place.
Yeah, it's like if you just get out of groups, you get like 100K or something, right?
Really? Oh my God, that's like amazing. Crazy like that. Yeah, I think that's the case.
It's $1 million prize pool. There's a lot of money for everybody.
It's true, which is good. I mean, these people deserve it, obviously.
Okay, so if you get to eighth place, that's 50K.
Yes.
So everybody who gets out of groups gets 50K.
So if they are in groups, they probably get like 10K or something, right? Like for just being in groups.
Yeah, let's see. 25 if you got there. Everybody who 25?
That's awesome.
Everybody who's going there is getting 25K.
That's awesome.
And
that's
a trip to Taipei.
Right.
Hey, not bad.
Paid trip to Taipei, yeah, for sure. So yeah, here are the groups. You know, there's 16 players. And man, it's stacked, dude. It's pretty nuts. I mean, there's definitely some groups that are a little bit better than others, but there's no question that I think the quality level at this World Championships is the best. I'd go out and say it's the best we've ever seen. Just because I feel like this whole year has been a pretty tough slog, you know, through all the tours, events, and the whole master system, and just everything, right? Like, people have been playing their asses off this year.
And well, we've seen this year, too, for the first time, a lot of, like, repeat winners, right? People,
yeah, right,
because in the past, right, a lot of times someone would qualify and then they just stop showing up to things because they'd be like, I'm in Worlds, I'm good. And this year what we've seen is like Bunny Hopper's not satisfied with qualifying for Worlds. He wants to win again, you know. Literally Ike got to play in like a special extra tournament to qualify because three friggin' people had already qualified who ended up, you know, finishing
in the top four. Yep, in the top four of that season's final.
Crazy.
Yeah, that was crazy. He had a huge chance. All those guys had a huge chance to get in. So definitely,
it was so funny because you watched that tournament. You're like, he finished 3-3 for the whole tournament, and he qualified for Worlds. Okay,
right. It's like he got me less packs than like one of the other guys that didn't even make it. Yeah,
and then here's the thing though. Then he qualifies and he gets popped into the group with Just Saying and Hunter Ace too.
Yeah, speaking, I mean, you were talking about people of repeat. I mean, Hunter Ace started the year being the hottest player. You know, like, he won two events, you know, early on in the season, and then Just Saying, you know, basically became the hottest player, you know, somewhere at the end of the summer, and you know, he kind of had his phase of where he was dominating as well. And I think Just Saying kind of, like, you know, he did take a step back, I think, after that, you know, that when he finally got in. Yeah. Then when he finally got in, he basically took a step back after the fall, and then Bunny Hopper had his time, you know, after that. So yeah, we've had some dominant stretches from some of these guys, and you know, it's just about who's hot, you know, at the end. I mean, Bunny Hopper's definitely hot. I think the most hot right now at the end. And, you know, Muzzy's just, I mean, I barely even said Muzzy's name this year, I feel like, yet Muzzy's always just there, you know, like, he's always top eight or something like that. So, you know, he's always a threat too. But, you know, Bloody Faith, Blood Trail, those are two guys that have been super underrated, you know, under the radar, and had super hot years. So, and then Tyler, obviously a fan favorite that's in there. Vipers, you know, I think a lot of people, you know, really enjoyed that Peanut Shaman he ran the one during his time. Yeah, so lots of, you know, great storylines for a lot of these players, and getting a chance to see them go against each other is going to be pretty epic.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. It's going to be weird, though, because it's, I think it starts at 9 o'clock at night.
Oh, gosh.
And then goes until 9 a.m.
Great viewership, man. Yeah. NA viewership here. Yeah.
That's fine for me. I mean, I'm a night owl anyway, so I'll keep watching Hearthstone, and then I'll, you know.
Of course.
Yeah.
What do you think? So you think Group C is the group of death here?
That is the group of death.
Yeah.
I think. I'm my predictive winner is kind of a troll pick, but I think Roger's just going to win because that would just be like the dankest
time. No, please don't say that. Oh, Blizzard. Blizzard's not hoping for that.
I know. It's going to happen, and people are going to lose their minds on Reddit, but he is really good. You can't deny that he's really good at Hearthstone.
He's in a good group. I'll be honest. Yeah. You know, like,
I know. I mean, I'm looking at him like,
He's in a group that, I mean, is probably one of the weaker groups.
All those players can get through, definitely. Yeah. Like, he might not make it out of groups, too. he might not make it out of groups, and he might also win the whole damn thing, right? And like, I just feel like,
oh man, that would be such.
It's just like it's just what they deserve almost, right?
Yeah, that's probably true. I mean, people would riot. I mean, definitely the Taiwan audience supports him. You know, sure. So
he's going to be a fan favorite where they are.
I mean, you know, there was a little bit of talk about just how Justine would actually be received over there because, you know, he was very critical, you know, very, open about his criticism of just how that was all handled. And, apparently the Taiwan, you know, I think what I heard was just the Taiwan fan base just wasn't happy with that. So,
Folks Rogers are like the number one streamer over there, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Or he's one of the top ones. Folks are wondering what was going on. Roger was just one of the players that was involved with just the, couple, you know, big kind of controversial, events. One being the global games, the global games, where they had an incident where they could see the streamer, you know, he basically knew like what his opponents were playing. I don't want to go into all the details, but basically, you know, they got reprimanded for that. The entire team got reprimanded.
Yeah,
for that.
Got disqualified from the tournament. He was a member of that team. You know, it also is not clear that he was necessarily participating in that actual. The stream sniping, like it might have just been one of the other teammates, but he was on that team.
Yeah,
he was, and then he was involved in a win trading incident. Yeah,
the win trading thing, I think, is worse, for sure, because that was just, you know, just him. And so, a couple things, and a lot of people, you know, it's like two pretty big things, you know, and I think that he didn't get much.
A big tournament.
Yeah, then he won a big tournament. So it's like a lot of people didn't think it was right for him to be able to continue playing. You know, indies and taking a spot and all this stuff. So there's definitely a lot of drama riding on this. I am not going to, obviously I don't speak for Blizzard, but I would be shocked if they're not they're hoping he doesn't end up winning and being the world champ, because that would just look really, really bad, I think, for them.
Obviously my heart pick, if I just could pick somebody to win, it would be Ike. But I don't know.
I have a lot of friends here, man. Like it's, like, so who you're gonna pick? Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Like, who's
I mean, I actually think that probably the most likely is Bunny Hopper, but I'm gonna pick Ike in my heart. Go Ike, we like Ike. I want him to win. I know he goes through a lot at these tournaments too, because he's got for people who don't know, also he's got some issues with some pain in his legs that's somewhat debilitating sometimes for him.
Yeah.
So he, like on the last tournament where he actually qualified, he was in a lot of pain during the entire thing. So like, you notice like he was sitting down during interviews and things like that. And other players were standing. It's just, he just has a condition that he's always had. So, it's just a lot of hard work and trouble for him. And it's really like heartwarming to see him like battle through that and play well at these things. So I'm hoping that he can pull it out. That'd be sweet.
Yeah, I mean, my heart's definitely, you know, like, definitely rooting for Ike from that standpoint. Tyler, too. Tyler's had a rough year, you know, just his family and everything. So, you know, my heart's definitely rooting for those guys. I think if it's my brain, it's really going to be interesting, because I think that the timing of the World Championships really favors, I would say, innovators than more so than if it was played later, you know, like not right when an expansion and reset happened. You know, like I would probably pick different. I'd probably pick Saiyan, you know, a much higher if it was a little bit later in the expansion, because it's so early in expansion. I think even Bunny Hopper too. I think Bunny Hopper I'd probably choose a lot higher if it was later in expansion.
Yeah, these guys are just like grinders.
Yeah, they're just master pilots, right? And analytics and decks, and they're able to figure out just what's good. But because it's so early on, I think it does favor the people that are, you know, that come up with ideas quicker. And so I think that Hunter Ace is probably favored. You know, we haven't seen him play that much, you know, like, I mean, have crazy success recently, just because, again, like, I think he might have dialed back just a tiny bit. I mean, he played a lot of tournaments too, but
yeah.
But I think he flourishes in that type of environment a little bit more, you know, like, so. I mean, all these guys are great. I mean, literally any of these guys could win. Like, just
I would say Viper too.
Yeah. Viper too. Yeah.
The guy who can innovate and come up with new stuff, right? So, yeah.
That's a good point. Yeah. So, Yeah, it's going to be pretty sick just seeing. And I'm excited to see Conquest. Like, I think Conquest is going to be amazing, you know, with, you know, yeah. all these different decks.
It's going to be our swan song with Conquest.
Yeah, yeah, it's a good swan song. It's a good one. And I think we're going to be wishing we had Conquest after we see the new season.
Yeah, we'll see.
We'll see. We'll definitely see. But I hate to be a Debbie Downer, but, you know, it's, I have to be honest with you guys, though, you know, I'm just a little bit worried.
Yeah, I'm still in the wait and see period with the specialist stuff. I haven't tried it yet. I have a thing called the Dill's Hearthstone League that I run.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. How's that going?
Subs and stuff.
Yeah.
And we are going to do specialist this season.
Okay. Yeah, might as well.
So we'll see how that goes. We did one season with Last Hero Standing, but most of the time it's always been Conquest, you know, bring four decks, ban one.
Yeah.
That type of thing. And this time we're going to do the specialist and we'll see how it goes. And so I'll actually play it and that'll give me more of a feel for if it's.
It's definitely easier to run a tournament, like no question, right? Like with that kind of format. But
what we do is we do 8 weeks of Swiss, right? So you play a different opponent every week and you have a whole week to like plan your match and stuff like that.
But it's one match a week.
And you can change your deck week to week and stuff like that. So this will be our eighth season. Which is pretty cool.
Nice, man. That sounds fun.
But yeah, I'll know more after that, after I've played that. But I've literally not even tried like a practice match with specialists or anything. So.
Yeah, yeah. Do you think we're going to see some special things pop up at World Champs? Because, you know, one thing I have been hearing is that anytime one of these guys goes up against a streamer, they immediately concede.
Yeah, I saw Firebat queued into Just Saying, and he immediately conceded. Yeah. So he's got some sort of secret tech. Mm-hmm. The thing is, though, like, why? I guess I was confused when I saw it because I was like, so who is he playing against on ladder that he's okay with them seeing it? Because even just playing it on ladder, like, the other guy was going to see some of the cards in your deck, right? I mean, you do have to grind games with it, I get, but
yeah,
maybe you should just be grinding them against, like, somebody else who can play, you know, somebody.
It's not bad to just like throwing it into the open system. I mean, I think it's, you know, you're going to probably get a better feel for it because, you know, I think part of it is when you're playing these decks, you really have to understand even nuances that you may have to react to that you've never gotten a chance to practice against. So I think having the ladder. And, you know, of course, if you're going to play Firebat, then an extra 1,500 people are going to see it, you know, an extra 3,000 people will see it and maybe post it, right? So,
but like on the ladder, information still gets
it does
passed around, right? Yeah. Just whether it's on stream or not, people see a deck and then they talk about it with other people,
For sure. I mean, he should be just playing on a Smurf or something like that instead.
Sure, and it doesn't say Just Saying.
Although
then you have to get all the cards again.
I mean, it's tough. It's
a tough situation.
But I have a feeling that we will be seeing some interesting things. You know, they have to submit their decks probably really soon here.
I think it's coming up because the actual tournament starts on the 24th.
The meta can change a lot in a week. So I hope we're not in a situation where it, you know, something really changes a lot and then, you know, they just had their deck submitted already and it's kind of that weird situation. But yeah, I hope, you know, definitely hope to see some innovation, you know, something pop up here that we haven't seen and you know, people, you know, being rewarded for it. I think that would be just amazing to see that too. All right. Well, why don't we do some Q&A? If you guys have any questions in the chat, definitely be sure to just write out your questions there. You can tweet us too at ValueTownGG if you have a question there. Before we do, I just want to give a shout out just to some of the folks that have been supporting the show for a long time. That's our patrons. And if you're interested in supporting the show or you think we're doing a good job, go to patreon.com/valuetown. You can throw us a pledge. And we really appreciate it. But I want to give a shout out to just a few of them because we do it every single week just to give some love to our patrons. So big shout out to Ray Dan, Bryce L, Greg S, Blake T, Eric L, Jackpot 777, Chris C, that's not me, and Zach M, Evie, and Sasha G. Thanks so much, guys. You guys are amazing. All right, so we got a question from Amadin. Okay, what Rise of Shadow Legendary would you recommend to craft? We actually had a question kind of similar to that last week, but maybe this week is a little bit different. Is there any Legendary you think is absolutely worth the craft right now?
Just specifically out of Rise of Shadow? Probably...
Let me see what the choices are here.
Probably Elysiana, I guess, would be the one that I'm like, you're gonna get use out of this.
That's a good choice, actually.
Geppetto Joy Buzz is a lot of fun.
I still haven't played that card.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It's like, pretty cool. There's the Hunter deck that does the Malygos thing, and then there's obviously Druid you can do stuff with.
Yeah, let me bring this up.
Oh, Arcvillain Rafam with the Zoo deck? That is sweet. That is really fun.
Yeah, I still haven't gotten a chance. I need to play Warlock some. I really like a lot of the mechanics in Warlock, but I just haven't gotten a chance to get there.
Yeah, so on my on my free-to-play EU account, I opened the Rafam, and the Zoo deck is basically like a bunch of classic cards except for Magic Carpet.
Yeah.
So it was really easy to craft the rest of the stuff I needed, and I have essentially a tier one deck.
Oh man, really?
Yeah, because of that one open. So
that's crazy. Yeah, I'm looking through these. I think I said this before, which was I think it really just depends on what class you want to play. Like if you want to choose a class, because it's hard to evaluate just legendaries if they're common. So like if you're playing mage, you should absolutely get a Khadgar. Like that's completely required to get Khadgar.
Sure.
I wouldn't say these are. I don't think any of these are really.
Yeah, there's a lot of ones that just don't see any play at all right now.
This is a must do for Hunter.
If you're doing Mech Hunter. Mm-hmm. But the Archivist, Elysiana, is probably the one that's in the most decks outside of Archmage Vargoth, which everybody got for free. So
yeah, this if you're a control deck and you don't run Elysiana, you should just lose.
Yeah,
I mean because this is an absolute must in control decks. You just have to have it. Because if you run into a mirror where they have it, you lose.
Yep.
And so
it's like, who plays it last? Who plays it most?
Right.
That's who wins.
Yeah. Or who gets the best cards out of it, too, which is usually good minions. If you can get good minions out of it, you're doing really, really well. So, yeah, I'd say those are the two things. Let's see. Do we have any other questions here? We're kind of didn't have too many questions this week. Mm-mm. Let me see. There's a question just which card do you think is, Kristen on Twitter asked, which card do you think is a card that still hasn't been played yet or hasn't been shown up in any of the meta decks yet, but will, that basically still has potential?
That will eventually?
Yeah, yeah.
Well...
Let's see.
I think so. I know that what's his name? Who's the warrior specialist?
Fibonacci. Yeah.
Fibonacci had been playing the Boom Reaver, which is the 10-mana 7/9, summons a copy of a minion in your deck and give it a rush. Mm-hmm. He was doing a deck with that I think actually might make its way at some point. Maybe it's just because he can play warrior decks that nobody else can play or something, but I feel like there's something there with that. You just play a
big warrior or something.
Control. Yeah, you play like a bunch of just removal and then just a bunch of big control bombs, right? I think there's something there, maybe. And then I'm hoping that at some point we do see a real Heist Baron Togwaggle deck that's not just good because Rogue is just good, but because. When you get the Togwaggle, I've been playing a lot of that on ladder. When you get the Togwaggle to go, you've got, let's say you've got the opponent kind of low. You go for the wand, which gives you 3 cards that cost 0. And oftentimes you just find the burn you need. If you're kind of stuck in a game where you're both still fighting for board, you do the thing where you summon 2 legendaries. Mm-hmm. You summon 1 legendary and then a copy of it. And then you just, win from that position. And then, of course, if you are in some weird late game control situation or you're almost dead, you play the 3-mana 6/6 taunt monkey that makes your hand all legendaries and you just get a taunt in the way and then you just get a bunch of big stuff. So the card is so fun.
Yeah.
It's just the other version of Rogue is better, right?
And that's the problem. Exactly. I mean, you're right. I mean, one of the treasures is an auto win. I mean, that one treasure, I think the win rate is crazy when people get it.
Yeah, when you actually get the treasure off. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that's probably true. Let me see if there's any other thing that shows up for me. there was one up here. What was it that I think was? I've been trying to get this guy to work. I actually think she's really good.
The Mount Seller?
Yeah, yeah. I'm just trying to figure out.
I thought Gibbler was messing with a,
yeah,
with a make a lot of dudes mage deck,
mm-hmm,
which is kind of interesting. The problem is that mage then doesn't have, you know, Savage Roar or anything.
It doesn't like have Savage Roar, but it's not so much that as much as it's just, it's something that has synergy with cheap spells, right? And
yeah, I mean, mage, you can do this in Druid, right? This guy with a bunch of like pounces and innervates and moonfires and stuff.
Yeah, I just, the mechanic's great. It's just, I just don't know what archetype it fits into super well, but that's it. I think Chefnomi is going to actually be legit at some point too.
Okay.
I think that I really hate this card, by the way. I think this card is one of the worst cards in the set. You know, Elysiana and this card are the two cards I have a problem with. Everything else I love in this set.
Well, these two cards, if you can empty your deck and play Chefnomi and then Elysiana, then that's pretty solid.
Yeah, right? Like, I mean, but the biggest thing with this is just that it's, you just play a card and you get 7/6/6s on the board. Like, there's nothing. There's like no skill involved. I mean, at least Luciana, you got to pick stuff. You know, it's like you discover stuff and it goes.
Well, you got to empty your deck first with Chefnomi.
Yeah,
right?
But still, I mean, there's definitely control decks, right? There's definitely control decks or draw decks that can lead you to this. You know, lead you to this. And this is literally a miracle win card, and that's just bad for the game. I mean, it's kind of fun when it happens and it's like total meme and highlight video kind of thing, but it's not even that big of a highlight video because all you did was play a card and you just all of a sudden have like lethal on the board, you know? Sure. And I don't know. I definitely am not a fan of this card. Like, I wouldn't have minded if it was smaller. Maybe if it was like, you know, 4/4s or something like that, but 6/6s is just like a lot of things remove 5 damage too, you know, so I can't even remove that. It has to be like a brawl or a Hagatha scheme or something like that to kill. Yeah, it's a tough one. I mean, even like the mage one. The priest, 5 mana, just everything attacks.
Oh, Mass Hysteria.
Yeah, Mass Hysteria. Yeah, it leaves one behind too. So it's just like there's no great removal for that card. But I do think that this card, it just feels like a card that pros will eventually abuse this card, like heavy.
Okay.
So, yeah, I think that card will end up being played for better or worse. but yeah, so I mean, I think a lot of cards are being played right now. So that's great, right? Like this is one of the big positives of this expansion and reset being so good is that there are almost all new cards being played, which is awesome. Definitely good.
Yeah, it looks like the worst legendaries that we got in the new set were Fellord Betrug.
Yeah, that's the way it
is. Spark, apparently.
Oh, is that? Oh, it's on the Aegis replay.
They're the lowest win rate cards. Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't even seen those cards. I'm not surprised.
No. Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't even seen. I haven't seen Madame Lazul. I don't think a single time yet either.
No, because the type of priest deck that's out there doesn't want this.
Yeah, Barista Lychan. I've tried it a couple times, just copying stuff, but I never have any room, you know.
Yeah, it's sweet value, but again, it's like it's not a deck that does something specific, right?
Yeah, for sure. All right, well, why don't we wrap up, dude? I mean, there's not too many questions today, so I think we can.
Yep. I mean, it's I got to get ready to go to work anyway, so it's perfect.
Exactly, man. It's always a pleasure having you on, man. It's always good talking hard. So we got to do more, man. Even if it's not on air or anything.
Sure, definitely. And we got to get you on Angry Chicken at some point soon.
Oh, yeah, for sure, man. That's good.
We haven't had any guests in a really long time because we've been doing like nothing but like card review.
Yeah.
And, you know what I mean?
Garrett was sick this week, though, right? Like I saw you adjust.
Yeah, it was just being Joss.
Yeah, for sure, man. Anytime. Would love to. But you want to do some shout-outs before we take off?
Sure. Just shout out to Gary and Jocelyn, my co-hosts on the Angry Chicken, and everybody who hangs out and watches me stream on twitch.tv/WillyDills.
You still only stream? Sorry, no, you play all kinds of things, right?
No, mostly Hearthstone. I mean, I sometimes I'll dabble in like Magic Arena or like we were playing some Dead by Daylight the other night.
Oh, but, man, yeah. It's been a while since I played
Pretty much. I mean, Hearthstone is like by far my favorite game.
Like, yeah.
I don't know. It's like the game that when I sit down in front of my computer and I'm like, I open up Steam and I'm like, yeah, I guess I could play these games. Or I could just play Hearthstone. And then I just choose Hearthstone again.
Well, it's a good time, obviously, to play Hearthstone. I mean, sure. I'm in the same boat. I mean, Hearthstone, I just still love to play Hearthstone, right? So, but I definitely play some auto chess too at the same time. So
okay.
It's kind of both.
Yeah. I haven't really got the bug yet for that game. Mm, I mean, I played it a little bit and I had a good time, but I also, I was like feeling that feeling of so much I got to learn if I want to get good at this, and it's daunting, and I'd screw it.
Yeah,
I'd
turn
it off, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the interface is like a little bit weird and wacky.
The popularity of it means to me that we're going to see
somebody make it.
An actual company make that game and not have it just be a mod for Dota, right?
Yeah.
Like that game is going to be its own game pretty soon.
To be honest, like I think the biggest thing for me with Auto Chess is that it's a very small thing. It's the actual the battling. You know, like the fact that we can actually watch the fighting makes such a huge difference. Like showing the combat is huge, and I think that's like the main thing that really attracts me to it. I mean, obviously there's the whole, you know, playing and the strategy. I think it's really smart the way it's designed too, but you know, that's the biggest difference for me. It's just like having that turn base and then watching everybody fight, you know. It's
oh sure, really, really super cool. Satisfying. Yeah,
it's exciting too. It makes a spectator, makes it more of a spectator thing. But yeah, Hearthstone, I mean, that's why we do these podcasts, is because we love Hearthstone. So that definitely doesn't change. But yeah, I just want to, you know, thank you for being on the show. Thanks everybody for watching. I know it's like, you know, different times and a little bit short notice, I know, on the switch of time. So I apologize for that. But you can find, you know, our Valuetown, as always, on YouTube.com/ChamanV. You can find it on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, and SoundCloud.com/ChamanV as usual. And that's going to be it, guys, for Valuetown this week. So for Dills and myself, ChamanV, we'll see you next week.